The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast town of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So do you all remember back to the first week of December? Right? I stood up here, and I wished you all a happy new year. Do you remember that? Because remember, the church year starts the first Sunday of Advent. And every year, as we start a new church year, we flip into a different gospel to read on a nice three-year rotation. So, why am I bringing this up? Because we are in the year of... Okay, a few have been paying attention the past few months. Good. We are in the year of Luke. And so we're going to hear from the Gospel of Luke, not completely, but mostly, up until next December when we'll hop into Matthew. So just know that it is all about Luke this year. And if you've been paying close attention, or even if you haven't, you will notice, or you will begin to see, that one of the main themes in the Gospel of Luke is what the kingdom of God looks like. And we've already heard this multiple times since we started this new year. In Mary's Magnificat from this gospel, we hear how God shows mercy, how God scatters the proud in their conceit, how God brings down the powerful, lifts up the lowly, and fills the hungry with good things. And not even a chapter later, John the Baptist continues to explain God's work in foretelling the coming of Jesus, in telling that Jesus will share, that the message he will bring is that we need to share what we have, that we need to not take more than is necessary. And in Jesus' very first sermon in his hometown in Nazareth, which we heard just a few weeks back, last time I was up in this pulpit, Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah. And what did Jesus read? He proclaimed release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It is a relentless theme in the Gospel of Luke. And so given that, when you get to today's reading, it should be no surprise to us. Only you can say, "Reverend Rachel, I don't remember this reading, and there's a good reason. You can come ask me about that later. Apparently last read during the Reagan era, but that's a whole other story. So if we're following along in this gospel, last week we heard about Jesus out on the water calling the first disciples of Peter and James and John. And then we actually miss some other happenings, and right before today's reading, Jesus has gone up a mountain to pray. He's called the 12 disciples, and now they're set, right? Like he has his team. He has his posse ready to go with them. And so they come down the mountain with his people, and they're going to get ready to teach and to heal and to pray and to spread the good news. And yet what is interesting is where in Matthew it talks about Sermon on the Mount, they're up on the mountain, Jesus is in the high place. Luke is very clear that Jesus comes off the mountain and he is at a level place. The same kind of place that we hear about in Isaiah, especially when we hear the Messiah, that everything is made level, the high is brought low and the low is brought up. It's the same level place that John the Baptist talks about. And so here is Jesus in a level place where all are equal, where all of humanity is made level in God's kingdom. And on this level place, people from everywhere, Jews and actually Gentiles, very beginning of the ministry, and the Gentiles are here also. They've gathered to hear Jesus. They want to hear his message. They want to be healed and cured and understand what it is, this power that comes out of him. And Jesus, with his newly appointed leaders, realizes he needs to teach everyone, how do you participate in this? How do you be part of the kingdom of God? How do you bring that about in your own life? And what Jesus preaches and teaches are never, it is not pithy, it is not blithe. They aren't simplistic ideas, and yet what Jesus gives them is how. How do you do this? How are you a part? How are you supposed to help make the level places plain, or the high places plain? Where is it, or how is it, that we get all of God's creation to be treated with equal respect and love and care and compassion and opportunity? How is it we get to a place where justice becomes more important than money and power or righteousness? And to help everybody participate, Jesus gives 8 simple truths. Now, how many of you are online, right? Do you get those little clickbaits? Learn how to lose belly fat in these 8 simple tricks. Avoid these 8 fruits to get rid of all of your wrinkles. Now, you know what's coming up on my clickbait. Yours, I know you have something that you can do in 3 to 5 easy steps, if only. But Jesus was ahead of his time. So Jesus got this, and his whole thing is like, with these 8 simple truths, you can bring about the kingdom of God. Try these 8 simple truths to bring about justice now. And yet, if you are like most of the preachers who read this week's reading and you went, woe is me, because sitting in Hermosa, in this day and age, I know where my next meal is coming from. I know that despite the cold and last night's crazy wind, that I have a roof over my head, I have clothes to wear, I have blankets to keep me warm, and it's hard to hear the blessings and the woes and to not worry that we have been woefully left behind in God's kingdom. because we know where we are. We are the rich, and we are the full, and we laugh. And the truth is most people, they do think pretty well of us. But I'm going to say, fear not. Because Jesus was not trying to shame you or me, or quite frankly, any of us. Because blessing in this circumstance does not mean you are saved, and woe does not mean that you are damned. Jesus was not out there preaching fire and brimstone. He was bringing us a message. And a word closer to what Jesus meant with blessing, some other options that were probably better translations or another way of translating would be blessing rather than blessing, being at peace or being satisfied or being unburdened. The idea that in the level playing field of the kingdom of God, no one is left wanting or is left out. So listen to it this way. You are at peace. Those who are poor are at peace, for yours is the kingdom of God. Those who are hungry are at peace, for they will be filled. Those who weep are at peace, for they will have laughter. Those who are hated are at peace, for their reward is great in heaven. The poor and the hungry and those in great sadness, those who are hated for following the faith of their God, they know that when everything else is said and done at the end of the day, their trust and their hope is in God alone. They don't have to try to figure that out because it has been given to them and they know this truth. Jesus isn't saying that this is who we should aspire to be. It's not like we want to have poor and hungry in our communities. But Jesus is saying that if this sin continues, those who are trapped in that system will know that there is a peace that passes understanding, that is acceptable to those who know they are dependent on God alone. And as we turn and we look at the flip side and we look at those woes kind of wincing, I'm going to say that try a different word rather than woe, which just is so filled with damnation. And I was kind of glad I got to read the gospel at this service. But try the word lament. Lament. Lament, you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Lament those of us who are full, for we will be hungry. Lament those who are laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Lament when all speak well of you, for that is what was said of the false prophets. Lament does not mean failure or condemnation. It means that we may have gotten caught up, ensnared, if you will, in thinking that satisfaction comes from wealth, that our value comes from what we have, rather than who we follow and how we follow in our faith, that we think that we are dependent on these things when God is calling us to be dependent on God alone. So Jesus is saying, lament. Lament when God may not have the priority that God demands of us in our lives. I think of that meme that you will often see online or if you've done trainings, and it's equality versus equity. So it's a ballpark and there's a fence. And there's a short kid, the medium kid, and the tall kid, like stair steps. And equality is they all get a box of the same size. And so the little one can't see, and the medium height can't see, but the tall guy, he can see now. That's equality. Equity is giving the little guy a taller box so he can see over the fence, and the medium guy a medium-sized box, and the tall guy the shorter box, and now they can all see because that is equity. And they all have that same view. But what Jesus asks is what happens in that third scene, and that is when the fence goes away. Because that is justice. And that is making the world a level place where all have access and all are equally welcomed and all know that they are worthy children of God because we are each God's beloved. And so this year, as we continue to journey through the Gospel of Luke, I implore you to listen carefully. Again and again, this gospel will call us to self-examination. And we should be self-examining. The gospel isn't easy. It doesn't always make us feel good. And we should struggle with it. So when we're called to this self-examination, look and see, where are you and where am I personally paving the road, laying the bricks for the building of the kingdom of God? We will get our hands dirty and we will mess up, and that is okay, because following Jesus is not a walk in the park. Following Jesus takes our faith at its deepest level, and it calls our faith to build the kingdom of God with our very best efforts, even those that are sometimes a struggle. And so take these 8 simple truths that Jesus has given us today, and know that Jesus is calling us to reorient ourselves, to reorient our values and how we view those who we think are less than us. And as we respond and as we reorient, know that in that we are living faithfully and we are truly working to bring about the kingdom of God. Amen.